San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, July 21, 2024. Today's lesson is Your Divine Identity with Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is such a beautiful morning, and our time together this morning has been just wonderful. And I want to welcome you here to our spiritual home, the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. And let's anchor ourselves in as we do every Sunday. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And we say that every Sunday, that we're made of the divine, that it's who we are. It's our divine identity. It's not just my divine identity. It is your divine identity. And no, it's not like a driver's license where we all share the same driver's license. No, we are still unique. We are still individuals. We are still made up of God's stuff and uniquely ourselves. We are free to be ourselves. That's our theme for July, free to be. And of course, today's talk is your divine identity. How are we free to be? Well, here's one example. This weekend is in San Diego is called Pride Weekend. And there was a big Pride Parade yesterday. And yesterday and today, there's a big Pride Festival over at Balboa Park. So what is Pride? Pride is the celebration of being able to be openly non-heterosexual without getting killed for it. And you might think I'm being drastic or overreactive to say not getting killed for it, but I'm not. I am not. Being non-heterosexual is still a crime in some countries. In England, people were killed because it was a capital offense. But then, you know, so was stealing a loaf of bread. So, you know, they could just kill you or deport you almost at will, which is one of the reasons a lot of the colonists came over here, because they were also killing you based on your religion. So, yeah, pride is the ability to stand up as you are, to stand up for other people being able to be true to who they are. So there's a lot of celebration going on. Our nation has come a long way in recognizing in our freedom of expression through our Bill of Rights and our Constitution, the ability for us to all be who we are without harming others. That's the caveat on everything. Be who you are, say what you want to say, do what you want to do without harming others. Now, sometimes the words that we say hurt other people's feelings, but we also have the four agreements where we learn to not take anything personally. So we can understand that when someone is saying something mean, that it isn't about us, It's about who they are. Who they are. We are free to be handicapable and be accepted in our world. You see, ramps at entrances. San Diego has gone practically through the entire city and carved out parts of the curb on corners to make ramps for people's wheelchairs. Because trying to get up over a curb in a wheelchair is very difficult. It's off-putting. It limits what people in wheelchairs were able to do, where they were able to go. And it just isn't safe to ride your wheelchair down the street. We are handicapable now. Because a handicap is a limitation. A handicapable is a workaround. We are free to be accepted with less than perfect bodies. A lot of our warriors or people in catastrophic accidents have lost limbs, an arm, a leg, or both legs. Some people are born less than physically perfect. And we have learned that just because the body is not perfectly formed, there's nothing wrong with the person. Each person is a child of God. Each person is unique. Now think of a pair of peacocks. The peahen walks around and she's kind of dull and drab, brownish feathers. And the peacock has this magnificent tail that is just absolutely beautiful. And that's how he makes himself attractive to the female, which is really cool. But does that mean that the peahen is less because she doesn't have that beautiful tail? Absolutely not. And when you get right down to it, the peahen has to sit on a nest. Do you think it would be convenient with that big long tail out there? And then people coming by going, oh, look at those feathers. Yank a feather out of her tail while she's sitting on her nest? No. Sounds very uncomfortable to me. So John chapter 10, verse 30 says, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. He's not talking about his physical dad. He's talking about our spiritual essence. Fanny James said, our freedom is in the knowledge that we are children of God. We are all created in the image of the divine, the image and the likeness. And it's the likeness that is the important part. The likeness of being love, being compassion, being part of the one mind, being light, being wisdom. That's the likeness part. The image is the outer. So we're going to say it's the image. We need something to contain the likeness which is within. D.H. Lawrence said, the living self has one purpose only, to come into its own fullness of being. As a tree comes into full blossom, or a bird into spring beauty, or a tiger into luster. The living self has one purpose only, to come into its own fullness of being. That means that my purpose and your purpose is the same, but it's to come into the fullness of being ourselves individually. Individually. God, I have a quote. It is, here we go. It's God Within You by Dr. Laura Kemp Anderson, and she's a minister from here in San Diego. It says, begin this day by lifting your consciousness to the hills of a clearer realization of God's presence. Take time to think of the power of God within you, functioning every gland, organ, and nerve in your body. The divine is within, within every gland, organ, and nerve in your body, and within every cell that makes those up. When we know that the divine is in every part of us, it can be a little easier to understand that we have a divine identity. You know, sometimes people will pray and they'll say, dear God, please send peace. God, end hunger. God, send us a leader to show us the way. But all that time, God is gently whispering in our ears, I sent you. Within us is everything that we are asking for. Everything that can be done through us, individually and collectively. I sent you. I thought that was very powerful. Now, Oscar Wilde, the Irish poet, the wild Irish poet, said, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. I have heard that so many times and didn't realize it was Oscar Wilde who said it. But it makes sense, given the wild nature of Oscar Wilde. Today is an opportunity for us to have a greater understanding of the indwelling power and presence that beats our hearts and allows us to live and move and have our being in this thing called life. Every thought, every action, every word that we speak is guided and directed by the divine essence of infinite intelligence. That part of us that we don't always acknowledge. We think that we're these bodies moving around. We think that we're human. And yes, we are human beings, but we are also spiritual beings here having this human experience. We don't spend eternity on earth. So where the heck are we when we're not on earth? It's our divine identity. And our divine identity is who we are. It's unique, like a snowflake or a fingerprint. No two snowflakes are alike. No two fingerprints are alike. We have the same substance, but we have a unique identity. Vernon Shields says, you are a child of God. You are here to claim the good that God has prepared for you. You are an expression of God's nature and are here to bear witness to this truth. God indwells you as your own identity or real nature, your true self. Your true self. as children, we've been pretty much told how to act, what to do, who we are allowed to be. And Don Miguel Ruiz goes over that in his book, The Four Agreements. We call it human domestication. But as an adult, we get to choose. Are we going to conform and blend and lose ourselves in the masses? Or are we going to choose to be ourselves? It is okay to be exactly you. Maybe nobody ever told you that before. You have permission to be who you are. It's okay to be who you are. In fact, it is desired that you be who you are. Now, who am I to say that it is desired? Well, I happen to be a spiritual immortal being identifying as a human, as a science of mind minister. And I know that within me is the divine, and I am guided by that infinite intelligence. And so even if I didn't happen to think it up myself that it's okay for you to be you, I have read a lot of material that, in other words, some very erudite, some very plain, says, you be you. You be the best you you can be. That's all you are here for. You be you. God expressing as you. Because nobody else can express life exactly as you do. I can't. I cannot express my life doing the things anybody else does any better than those whose calling it is. I have my own calling. I be true to me. I be faithful and of service to the community. But I don't be other people. I be me. We're going to talk about that next week. Our lesson is called I Am That I Am. Think about that and the emphasis. I am that I am. I have an affirmation. If you would like, hold your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today, I am ready.
Today, I am ready.
To claim my divine inheritance.
To claim my divine inheritance.
To reveal my divine identity.
To reveal my divine identity.
And to be the best me I can.
And to be the best me I can.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So simply breathe. Just breathe that in. Those are sacred words of wisdom and truth. And your divine identity is revealed. It's been said that the kingdom of heaven is inside each and every man and woman. And therefore, if you go inside yourself, you not only find the kingdom of heaven, you find and know yourself as well. That's a big deal. You find and know yourself. And then when you do that, perhaps you can answer simple questions we give to ourselves. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing? These are simple questions that if we ask them out loud, we can then sit quietly and hear the answer. Dr. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the religious science movement and the author of many books. One of them he wrote in 1948 called This Thing Called You. That is one of my favorite Ernest Holmes books, This Thing Called You. And on the title page, he wrote these words. You are the only person you can ever know intimately. You are the one with whom you must live eternally. You, like all others, are seeking the joy of living. You wish to be needed, to be loved, and to be included in the great drama of life. This urge is in every individual. He goes on to say, your mind is an outlet through which the creative intelligence of the universe seeks fulfillment. This is your starting point for investigating the meaning of those impulses, longings, and desires which accompany you through life. They accompany you through life. How can that be? Because they are a part of your divine identity. So we can kind of ponder that and go, how well do I know myself? How well do I know my higher self? Well, in truth, there are many, many paths to knowing thyself. Today, we're going to touch on self-introspection, self-awareness, and self-realization. And if that name sounds familiar to you, self-realization, I'll explain it when I get there. But you probably already have it in your head. Because here in San Diego, it's a big deal. In San Diego down on First Avenue and in Encinitas on the beach, self-realization is there. Self-introspection. Introspection is the process by which you form beliefs about your own life experiences. It's the process of carefully examining your own thoughts, feelings, ideas, and actions. You know, when people say they're sitting around contemplating their navel, it's introspection. When you contemplate upon how you feel about things, events, and other people, you have a better understanding on why you react the way you do. Some people have said that they don't know why they did what they did. They have no explanation for why they flew off the handle or why they decided to stop by the side of the road and check their tire to find out it's very low and would have later been a blowout. They don't know why, but with introspection, we can go within and we can examine what would trigger me to do that. What would bring that to my mind? Hint, hint, there's guidance within. Another way of revealing our divine identity is through self-awareness. Self-awareness is the explicit understanding that one exists. You know that you exist. Or do you? Did we just tell you that you exist and so you took our word for it? It's the aha moment that you can think, act, and be in this thing called life. How young were we when we realized that we were thinking? When we actually realized that when we put our hand on something, closed our fingers around it, and kept our fingers closed and moved our hand, that we were holding something and moving something. Did we consciously realize that at, what, a couple months old? Certainly less than a year. The aha moment that you can think, act, and be in this thing called life. It's the moment you realize that you are alive, awake, and aware of yourself. René Descartes is known for his famous self-awareness statement, I think, therefore I am. I am that thing that thinks. I am that I am, the great I am. I am capable of thinking about what I'm thinking about. That's important to understand that I am capable of thinking about what I'm thinking about, because I have said, and many others have said, think about what you're thinking about. I didn't realize every time I said it that it was a difficult concept for some people. I'm thinking, what am I thinking? What do I think about what I'm thinking? It's certainly a convoluted way to explain it. I think about what you're thinking about is much simpler. Another method of revealing our divine identity is through self-realization. In the practice of yoga, as taught by the mystics, self-realization is the knowledge of one's true self, also referred to as the Atman. Self-realization means to embody the sacred based upon mystical experience, not merely intellectual knowledge. So we can think about what we're thinking about and then realize it's who we are. So self-realization is the organization founded by Paramahansa Yogananda. He wrote Autobiography of a Yogi. There are self-realization centers all over the world. We have a center down on First Avenue, downtown, Bankers Hill. And up in Encinitas is the Hermitage. That was where Paramahansa Yogananda spent many, many years. It's right on the coast. It's on a cliff, actually. You can go to the Self-Realization Center there, the Hermitage, and you can walk through the gardens. And they have on the outer edge outlook posts, where you can sit on a bench and simply watch the coast. You don't see where the waves are crashing because they're down the cliff below your eye view. Your eye view is of the expanse of the ocean. And it is a very beautiful place. Most of Paramahansa Yogananda wrote most of Autobiography of a Yogi there at the Hermitage. I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a jigsaw puzzle. Let's say you've got a jigsaw puzzle with 1,000 pieces. That's a nice big picture with lots of little pieces. Now, each piece has its own place. No other piece will fit that same place. Each piece needs the whole puzzle, the whole picture, for coherence and integrity. And the whole puzzle needs each piece to bring meaning and order to the puzzle. Think about a big puzzle that's missing one piece. In some puzzles, you could say, oh, well, clearly that piece must be thus and such because of all the other pieces around it. But are we sure? Are we sure? The pieces, when it's all put together, seem to blend into the whole. So there's no individual identity of the pieces anymore. Now, that is a key truth for puzzles. And that relates to a key truth for reality, with one exception. There is no hand putting each of us puzzle pieces in place. We choose. We choose. Because in the universal scheme of things, there are an infinite number of puzzles into which an infinite number of pieces can fit. And we get to choose based on who we are, how we form ourselves, how we recognize the truth that is within us. We get to choose to be ourselves. We don't have to try to fit into a puzzle by hacking off one of the little pieces that's supposed to plug into something else. Say, well, we have a piece and there's no hole for our piece, so we're going to cut that little stem off. And so it can sort of kind of fit, but it never fully fits. It's never true to itself. But that is how puzzles work. Some people who are diehard jigsaw puzzle put-togetherers will take a puzzle and turn all the pieces upside down so they can't see the picture. So they just have to, they're all, the back side of them is all gray. So they have to figure out from the shape where they fit. And then once they're fit, they put Mod Podge, the decoupage glue, all over the back. And then they turn it over and see what the picture was. That's a little more challenging than I choose to be. That I honor and respect people who love to do that. That's not how I like to do jigsaw puzzles. I like to see the picture so that I can anticipate the beauty of that image when I get all the pieces in place. Other puzzles are made with all the pieces the same shape. They're all rectangles or squares or something. And you have to determine from the picture on the puzzle piece where it goes. And that too can be very challenging. I have a feeling you could create just about any picture you wanted with a bunch of pieces like that. Not just the picture that might be on the outside of the box. Ernest Holmes writes about how man reenacts, man reenacts the self-realization of the infinite mind. And this is on page 196. It even has the subtitle, Man Reenacts God. Man is conscious mind or spirit. This stands for his objective faculty. The objective mind of man is his recognition of life in a conscious state. It is the only attribute of man that is volitional or self-choosing. Consequently, it is the spiritual man. The conscious mind of man is the contemplator. Let us bear in mind what we have already learned, that the universe is the result of the contemplation of the divine mind, or the Holy Spirit, which is God. God creates by contemplating his own I am-ness, and this contemplation through law becomes the objectification of the self-realization of the infinite mind. It becomes the objectification of the self-realization of the infinite mind. In other words, it's the divine example. The divine nature is reenacted in man. He is conscious mind and spirit. Man is conscious mind and spirit. You've seen reenactors. They have them for like Civil War battles and various different things. People dress up like historical figures. They go to a historical place and they reenact what happened there historically, according to our records. And it's not like, well, it's much like a scripted play. It's not like we're all going to go out and run across Gettysburg and do what we want to do. No, it has to be recreated as it was without real bullets so that others can learn. All the recreations are to learn from history. And that's something we all need to do, is learn from history. Sikh scripture teaches the one God is pervading and permeating each and every heart. The Mundaka Upanishads reveals this universe springs from the deathless self, the source of life. Sufi poet and philosopher Rumi said, "You are not a drop in the ocean. You are the entire ocean in a drop." The Apostle Paul quoted a Greek poet saying, "It is in God that we live and move and have our being." And a Jewish psalmist affirmed the omnipresence of divine love when he or she wrote, "I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence." At first glance, that looks like a complaint. Man, I just cannot get rid of you. Instead, look at it as a comfort. I can never escape from your spirit. You are always here. No matter what I do, no matter what I say, you're always here. I can never get away from your presence. You are always within me. The indwelling is always dwelling within. We cannot be separated from our source. Divine life is the substance of our individual lives. As God is the life expressing in, through, and as our lives, we are always capable of improvement. We always have access to peace, to joy, to wisdom, to seeing past a challenge or difficulty to a field of unlimited possibilities. We always can be assured that come what may, we are forever a part of a perfect life that has no end. Reverend Dr. Craig Harris said, "There is no separation. Life is one. God is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. All good, all love, grace, peace, knowledge, wisdom, joy, and life. The stars, the clouds, the trees, the soils, the waters are all one. All that God is expresses through us as us. We are tapped into the fountainhead of God's deep knowledge, ready to illuminate us and enlighten us. The kingdom is within us right here, right now, in this eternal moment in which we dwell." Our divine identity. Our divine identity. And so I thank you for your time, for your attention, for being here this morning. I thank you for your divine identity that radiates throughout your body, your mind, your experiences, that you are simply a blessing to us all. Thank you. Namaste.